wise and early mentor of mine told me one time when we were discussing what I was learning in systematic theology at seminary. He said, well, all of that theology, as complicated as it is no better summarized by Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And thank you very much for that wonderful piece of music. From Ephesians chapter 4, I beg you, Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A worthy calling. Is it me, or are things just a little edgy in our world these days? A delicate balance between the resources we need for energy and the ecosystem it threatens in ways that perhaps were not fully foreseen. The volcano's kicking up again. Have you noticed that? I don't know whether Wall Street caused that or is the effect of it. And if that's not enough, we have in Times Square a lunchbox and a box of water bottles frightening us. And someone in the aftermath of the evacuation post-failed car bombing said that after 9/11, this is the new normal. Evacuation and fear is the new normal. There's a lot going on in ways that perhaps frighten us more than at other times and places, but I don't know, things just seem a little edgy these days. What is it that's required to deal with it? A worthy calling to start with. One of the early and not very complicated concepts in introductory sociology is the notion of role overload. All of us play roles in the course of our lives, in the course of our day. This role carries with it some expectations, so also do others that we'll slip into as the day goes on. Professional, parent, friend, spouse, and so on. And the concept is role overload. That is too many expectations, or expectations that cause us more stress than we'd like. So then I just say, how many of you is any of you in here the mother of a child? And a few people raise their hands in introductory sociology. Are any of you that are the mother of children also an employee? You have a job. And presumably also you're taking a class. So you're a parent, you have a job, and you're taking classes. I said, I don't have to explain role overload to you at all, do I? And they go, no, not a bit. We get it. We ask a lot, typically, of people whose role overload comes to them because they are mothers or women. Women pay a price for having their lives, at least by way of tendency, being more complicated than men's lives. We know that women whose lives come apart from things like alcoholism and addiction, they come apart earlier on average, about 10 or 15 years earlier than do men's. And the reason for this is one of the diagnostic criteria for substance abuse is that your life is unmanageable because of it. Well, because arguably women's lives are more complicated than men's, they come apart quicker when something like substance abuse is a part of it. So, in other words, we notice it faster. It is still true, although a generation ago it was 60 cents on a dollar, women professionals still make 80% of what men make. And the reason for that has nothing to do with employers abusing female professionals. It has everything to do with what a woman who is a professional must also do and live with in the course of professional advancement. I usually illustrate it this way. Imagine two fresh out of law school top graduates from Harvard, co-editors of the Law Review. She beat him by 1/100th of a point on the grade point average. And they both get partnership track jobs at a major firm. And then a year or two or three later, a child is born, and they have their professional lives, their personal lives, and their individual lives. And he will make partner before she will, typically. Because as the child grows, and children who are in daycare or other places, need things from a parent that causes the parent to drop what they're doing in the middle of their professional day. Whose phone goes off when that happens? Typically mom's, which means she will stop billing billable hours and deal with the child or deal with the, maybe take the rest of the day off. And he won't. And when you add that up over a career, when you add that up across a country of partnership track or tenure track or promotion track professions, you find that the trajectory for women in the professions is on the same path, but it slows down because of role overload. Women pay a 20% price for being what we call them to be as mothers, as nurturers, as the keepers of our social and emotional health, more so than we do men. I don't know what it's going to take to solve global terrorism or the energy crisis or to put Wall Street back on track. But I know it will be more than just what is the most cost-effective or the most powerful, the things that men are rewarded for figuring out. It will also be, perhaps, brought about by the mindset of what we ask our women to be, our mothers to be, drawing into the discussion of cost-effectiveness and power, decency, gentleness, and nurturing. Those that have learned to juggle cats through role overload, that mindset may well be what it takes to bring order to some of the ever-increasing levels of chaos in our world. A worthy calling, the mother of children, the nurturers of our society. Well, when I ask my class how many of you are the mothers of children, I will ask them also this, and I'll ask now you, how many of you are the children of mothers? Of course. A calling which calls to mind a level of kinship, does it not? Paul says, I urge you to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All of us are the children of mothers, which is a great equalizer in some ways. I find it intriguing that even the most heinous of violent criminals at their sentencing hearings will often have testimony on their behalf from their moms. Whatever this person is or isn't or done or didn't do, he or she is the child of a mother. Now, whatever that can come to mean, I think it's useful to know that it brings about a level of kinship that may call us up short a little bit before we make harsh judgments. There may be very necessary judgments made about the future of someone who's committed a terrible crime. But I think what goes into that might well include, as a part of our own calling, as not only the children of mothers, but the children of God, a recognition of kinship, that in many ways we are more alike than different, and may it bring about and tighten the bonds of peace. Andy Wilkinson is a Lubbock singer-songwriter who, with Amanda Shires, who's trying to make it big in Nashville, wrote a song that is haunting. And the title of the song is, I think, as much illustrative of the point as anything. It's simply, let the mothers decide to make war. Let the mothers decide what's worth fighting for. There may be many things in our world, in our country, on behalf of our country, and over the years we've certainly seen them, that are worth fighting for, that are worth even going to war for. But let the decision about when and how to do that, the song argues, let that decision rest with those who must send their sons and daughters as their mothers. In other words, you may join the army, but you don't get to go into combat until you get a note from your mom. How would our world be different if that were the case? A calling to be the mother of children, for some, but for all, the calling to be the children of mothers, and to recognize in that the covenant that binds us in baptism, in citizenship, in kinship, as children of the Heavenly Father. And I believe that we will bring to the rest of our lives the more often we remember that. More patience, more forbearance, more love, more unity of the one body, creating perhaps a stronger bond of peace. And this is why we honor the mothers of children and why we strive to live out the honor given to us as the child of a mother. Amen.